Say, it's time for...
All Sweet.
Did you hear what the lady said?
I said, All Sweet. All Sweet is the margarine with a delicate, natural flavor.
Yes, friends, that's what all the ladies are saying. All Sweet. The margarine with the delicate, natural flavor. Swift, All Sweet margarine invites you to Meet the Meat. Yes, friends, Swift and Company, who bring you All Sweet margarine and other favorite foods, invite you to meet your favorite radio family, the Mortimer Meats, who live on Elm Street in Civic Center. Well, it's April, and the gentle patter of raindrops sounds on the meat roof. Inside the house, the gentle patter of Uncle Louis' feet sounds as he heads for the dining room.
Oh, my gracious, Louis. Get up and sit down at the table. You can't be hurt.
But I give myself a terrible hit on the head.
That's what I mean.
Now, Mortimer... Are you all right, Brother Louis?
Yeah, I'm all right, sis. Only some people have got a very twisted sense of humor.
Oh, Mortimer was only joking. Well, now that we're all seated, suppose we have a nice breakfast. Help yourself to scrambled eggs, Peggy.
I'm not hungry, Mother.
Sounds like spring, Missy. Spring and the love bug.
Please, Uncle Louis, don't be sordid and dismal.
Huh? Oh, gosh, Peggy, I was only making a joke. Now, all I said was...
Yes, we heard what you said, Louis. Now, what's the matter, dear? Don't you feel well?
Oh, I feel all right physically, Daddy. It's my mental self that's bothering me.
Your mental self? Well, that's something your Uncle Louis won't be bothered with.
Oh, yeah? Toast, please.
Here, Uncle Louis.
Well, listen to me, Marty. That's a jab, will you?
Here you are.
There's nothing wrong with my think tank.
Really? Well, then why not try filling it?
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, stop it, Louis. Can't you see Mortimer's only teasing you?
Why, of course, Louis. I think you have a lovely think tank. It rattles beautifully. Now, tell me, Peggy, what about this mental lack of appetite of yours?
It's about the turnabout tonight, Daddy.
About the turnabout? Turnabout? My gracious, I'm talking double talk like you are.
It isn't double talk. The turnabout is a party at school, a leap year party.
Oh.
It's called turnabout because we girls have to invite the boys, pay all expenses, bring them flowers, and so forth.
Hey, that's my idea of a swell party. I could just see some classy tomato calling for me. She's got a flashy convertible, see? Her pocketbook is packed with dough. She's got a picnic hamper filled with triple-deck sandwiches with pickles on the side.
Oh, brother.
Only I don't know no tomatoes like that. What's your problem, D.C.?
Well, I asked Charles, and he accepted. And now he's just called up and said he couldn't go on account of because his cousin Delbert is in town. And Charles's mother says that if Delbert can't go to the party, Charles can.
Well, dear, why don't you get busy and get Delbert a date with one of your little friends?
Mother, all my little friends have dates already. Besides, have you ever seen Delbert?
Oh.
Delbert is a glug.
Yeah, I am not going to ask what a glug is.
And besides all that, Charles' father's car is broken down, and we haven't any transportation, even if Delbert hadn't come to town. Oh, well, I'll just sit home and read. Macbeth, I guess.
But, dear, there must be some way out of this. Now, Peggy, why don't you invite both Charles and Delbert to be your guests and and then lose Delbert?
What? Oh, Agatha.
Oh, Mother, that's a wonderful idea. Once we get to the party, we can... But how are we going to get to the party?
Oh, I think that can be arranged, too. Mortimer, dear.
No. I refuse to listen to you, Agatha. You have the voice of the Lorelei. No, I'll put my hands over my
Stop
ears.
Stop resisting, Mortimer. You know you'll be delighted to drive Peggy and her little friends to the party.
Yeah, I'll be delighted to drive them, yes.
That'll be no trouble at all.
Oh, no trouble at all.
And it's a father's duty and privilege.
Duty and privilege.
Oh, Mother, you're wonderful. And you are too, Daddy.
Yes, well, I'd rather be comfortable at home than wonderful in my car.
I'm going to go right over and tell Jill. And call Charles and tell him to tell Delbert. Oh, life.
Well, Mortimer, aren't you happy at how happy you've made your daughter?
Sure, Marty. Now you're acting like a real father for a change.
Yeah, well, every time I act like a real father, I become an unhappy meek. Oh, yeah, dear, I'll get it, I'll get it. Maybe it's somebody with some good news for a change. Hello?
Meek? Parker.
Oh, hello, boss. What have I done wrong this time?
Why, meek old man, such talk. You sound as though you thought I was an ogre.
Yes.
Well?
No, Mr. Barker. I mean, it's just that my family's changed my plans for me again.
Well, families have that habit. My birdie is always trying to change my mind and succeed. Patrick.
Yes, Mr. Barker.
I have a small favor to ask of you.
Well, of course, Mr. Barker, anything at all.
My car broke down. I have no transportation for today or tonight.
But Mr. Barker...
And I thought you'd be a good chap and chauffeur me around.
But Mr. Barker...
Oh, do you, good old chap. Take you out of the office into the open air. My regular chauffeur caught the measles. Idiot.
Now, look, Mr. Barker, please, can I get in a few words edgewise?
Why, of course, old man, of course. Now, what are you going to say?
Well, Mr. Barker, you see, it's this way. My daughter Peggy has 2 days for a party tonight. Two young men. And I promised to drive them in my car. You know how it is, Mr. Barker. Promise to a child? I say, you know how it is.
Oh, stop trying to explain to me. Old man, I've been through the mill.
Oh, you have?
I certainly have, and I know just what you're going through, so relax.
Oh, relax.
Stop worrying.
Stop worrying.
Get yourself together.
Get myself together.
And get over here at once. You're going to chauffeur me around today and tonight. Or from now on, you can drive your own car on your own time as an ex-employee of Barker & Company. I'll expect you in 5 minutes. That is all. Signed, briefly, yours, Barker.
Signed briefly, Barker. Yes. Signed bitterly, Meek.
You know, April's the month when crisp, fresh asparagus starts coming in plentifully to your grocer. Have it often, for asparagus is most delicious and a good way to add vitamin A and vitamin C to your menu. Incidentally, the best way to serve asparagus is the easy way. Simply cook and top with delicate, natural-flavored, all-sweet margarine. However, be sure you cook the asparagus properly. Now, here's how. Tie it in a bundle. Stand the bundle upright in the bottom half of a double boiler. Add salt and cover with boiling water just up to the tips. This way, those tender tips won't cook too long. And then, bring those luscious green stalks of asparagus to the table with the delicate, golden goodness of all-sweet melting over them. How your family will sit up and take notice. Why, even Junior, who usually is a bit fussy about vegetables, will pass his plate for more, please. Of course, AllSweet does right by any vegetable, canned, frozen, or fresh. That's because AllSweet's famous flavor is deliciously delicate, truly natural. Remember when you make up your next shopping list to add fresh asparagus and AllSweet. The margarine with the delicate, natural flavor.
But Agatha, Louis...
Pardon me, Meek. How can you stand there and tell me you'd even listen to Mr. Barker after you promised Peggy you'd drive her to the school party?
Yeah, what kind of a guy are you anyway? Don't you know that a promise is like a sacred oath?
Very well, I'll go over to Mr. Barker and try to reason with him. Oh, what am I saying?
Good, you do that very thing. Mr. Barker will think more of you, and Peggy will be able to keep her word. Mm. You see how simple it is?
Yes, yes, dear. You know something, Agatha?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think you should be working for Mr. Barker. Oh. And I should be doing the housework. And so that's it, Mr. Barker. And I hope you understand, he said hopefully.
You've explained it very well, Meek. I understand perfectly.
You do?
Of course I do. Now get into that chauffeur's uniform and start driving me.
Sure, my God. Gosh, Peggy, it sure is nice of your father to drive us around tonight.
Oh, Daddy's wonderful that way, Charles. He just loves to drive people around.
Say, he must be a swell old man. My old man don't like to drive anybody around, especially me. He says, Hank Shanks is enough for me. He means my old legs when he says, Hank Shanks.
Your father must be very interesting, Delbert.
Oh, I wouldn't say he was interesting. I'd say he was more on the peculiar side. We're all characters in our family.
That I can believe. Well, Charles, we'll be around at the car at about 8 o'clock. Oh?
joke, Peg. And be sure to thank your father for me. Tell him I think he's a most understanding parent.
But Mr. Barker, I feel so silly in this chauffeur's uniform.
And you look sillier. Square your shoulders.
Well, but they are square, Mr. Barker. If I square them any more, I'll topple over backwards.
I don't see why you couldn't have had fine, broad shoulders like my former chauffeur. Mm-hmm. However, we'll soon fix that. Here.
Well, but Mr. Barker, that's a coat hanger.
Don't tell me what it is. Of course it's a coat hanger. Put it under your coat.
You put it under my coat. You put it under my... Mr. Barker, please.
Go ahead, Meek. I cannot stand narrow-shouldered chauffeur.
And Ned Mortimer did the sweetest thing. He volunteered to drive Peggy and her little friends to the school party tonight. What? Why, of course, we'd be glad to pick you up on the way. Mortimer's so understanding about things like that.
Hello, Kurt.
Yeah, this is Lover Boy. No, not Blubber Boy. Lover Boy. Yeah, your dream come true. Say, Kurt, about tonight, are you sure you can get 3 tickets to the roller rink? Huh? Good. That's my baby. And listen, Kurt, I ain't taking you with no streetcar. Honey. No, you're going to be chauffeured. I say chauffeured. Yeah, by my little old brother-in-law. Yeah, sure. Morty's very understanding about such things.
What's that intersection, Meek?
Yes, sir.
And look out for that car coming this way.
Yes.
Don't crawl along, Meek, and don't break any speed law either. And Meek.
Yes, Mr. Barker.
Concentrate on what you're doing. Remember, you are driving me.
Yes, sir, Mr. Barker. As if I could forget it for one little moment.
Open the car door all the way, Meek.
Yes, sir.
I'll be gone only a minute or two.
Yes, Mr. Barker.
And Meek.
Yes, Mr. Barker.
Stop saluting me. You can be civil without being humble.
I wonder what I did to be punished like this. My gracious, this chauffeur's uniform itches. You.
Taxi!
Shh! Quiet, Dr. Furmish. I'm not a taxi.
You're not?
Why, no. I'm Mortimer Meek. Don't you recognize me? The father of Peggy Meek in your grade room at school?
What? You, Peggy Meek?
Yes. No. I'm a Mortimer Meek.
No, you're not Mortimer Meek either. I know him well. He's spindly, underfed, wistful, mousy little man, about 5 feet tall.
Dr. Furmish,
somewhat myopic, lean, cadaverous.
Dr. Furmish.
Washed out. One. Wispy. Why, Mr. Meek?
Eh?
How do you do?
How do you do?
You look like something out of my clothes closet.
Really?
Yes. Well, what happened to the taxi driver we were talking to a moment ago?
Yeah, look, Dr. Furmish, look. Yes, I am Mortimer Meek.
Well, I knew you weren't, Peggy.
Well, of course you did.
She wears Bobby socks.
Yes. Yes, I know. No, please, look. I'm doing something that I don't want to do. I'm the man that you thought was the taxi driver, you see.
You mean you're a split personality?
Well,
schizophrenic, catatonic. Interesting specimen. Oh, my. I certainly would like to have your head in a bottle so my class could study you.
Oh, you know. Please, Dr. Furmish, let me explain to you. I'm dressed in the chauffeur's outfit because I have to drive my boss around today in my car.
Why?
Well, his car broke down. Yes, his chauffeur has the measles.
Measles?
Yes.
Rather a spotty excuse, isn't it?
Well, yeah. No, now, look. But I have to drive my daughter and her friends around to the school party. Don't you understand?
I could, but I like it better this way.
Yes.
Go on, if you have the courage.
Look, Doctor, couldn't you help me out by suggesting a way I could discourage my boss from making me drive him? Yes.
The first thing to do is to shock your boss.
He shocked my boss.
Yes. Make him think you're something you are not.
Yes.
What is graceful?
Huh?
An animal.
Eh?
I know.
Well?
Pretend you're a deer.
Huh?
You are a deer.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, I've always liked you too, Dr. Furmish.
Oh, thank you. You're sweet. You're very nice. Oh, now you've spoiled the whole thing. You can't be a deer.
Why?
No, you just can't be. Now let me think. You've got to be something you're not.
Really?
I have it. The very thing.
What?
Pretend you're a chauffeur.
Pretend I'm a chauffeur?
Exactly. It is obvious, you see, that your employer is a paranoiac.
No,
he is happy only because he knows you are not a chauffeur, and therefore he enjoys calling you one. Now, reverse the situation.
Yes.
Call yourself a chauffeur.
Yes.
At once, he will want you to be a businessman again. Do you understand all that?
Oh, certainly, Dr. Furmish.
Explain it to me.
Well, you see, first of all, it's about the paranoia. and the statue of protection taking up protection, and we take down because of the children now, Mark. You see?
Yes, now that you've clarified it, I do.
Yes,
yes, yes. Yes. It's simple. Devastatingly simple, yes. Well, thank you. I must be off, and that's a fact.
That's a confession.
Yes, it is. Well, I'm glad I met you, Mr. Deer. See you in open season.
Hello. And so, Mr. Barker, having tried the chauffeuring, I find out that I really like it. Yes, healthy, pleasant, and invigorating. So I've decided that, well, why don't I become your permanent chauffeur? Well?
Good. You're hired.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll get you some extra clothes hangers for your other suits. Now drive downtown to Green's drugstore.
Yes, Mr. Barker.
Your doctor's permission is ideas.
Gosh, Charles, it was sweet of you to invite me down to Green's drugstore for a super-duper Sunday.
Don't give it a thought, Peggy. Delbert likes Sundays, don't you, Del?
Oh, gosh, sure. I like everything.
Besides, he gets a very liberal allowance.
You do, Delbert? How interesting.
Oh, it's not so interesting, Peggy. More peculiar-like. My father, you know, he's quite peculiar. He's a big business executive. He likes to fish out the dough.
My father's a big business executive, too. But dishing out the dough isn't one of the things he's too crazy about.
Well, what's your father do when he's executive, Peggy?
Well, he's with Barker and Company. You might say he's the driving force there.
Driving force, huh? I'll bet he's a big wheel.
Well, he does see that everything runs smoothly. Oh, my. We're practically at Green's drugstore.
Yeah. Say, Peggy, speaking of your father, isn't that your father's car parked out front?
Why, yes, sure it is.
Hey, who's the funny kid standing next to it? The one dressed with the chauffeur's uniform?
Well, I have no idea who... Oh, no!
Hey, Peg, isn't that your father?
I don't think I want a Sunday. I think I'm sick.
Why, it is. Golly, Mr. Meek, what are you doing dressed up?
Well, hello, Charles. I'm glad to see you. Oh, no.
Oh, Father, what happened to you?
But, Peggy, dear...
Hey, what is this anyway?
Oh, quiet, you. Please, Peggy, let me explain.
Explain? Oh, no. No, I don't want to hear anything. Oh, Father, how could you?
Well, hello, Mrs. Meek. Aren't you the happy one, though?
Yes, it is a happy, happy family today, Mr. Weigel. Mortimer is being so sweet and cooperative, I'm going to give him his favorite dish tonight. Fried chicken. Fried chicken with a difference, that is.
Fried chicken with a difference? Say, I hope the difference isn't some other way of frying it than with all sweet margarine.
Oh, my land, no. All sweet is so wonderful for frying. It doesn't spatter all over the plate. And it has such a marvelous natural flavor.
Yes, and nothing you can use for frying is more digestible than all sweet. But tell me, Mrs. Meek, what's different about this fried chicken you're having?
Well, it's smarter fried chicken. It makes its own gravy. I just dip the cut-up chicken in seasoned flour and brown it quickly on both sides in about 1/8 inch of melted all sweet. Then I pour a half a cup of white cooking wine over the chicken, cover the pan, and continue cooking it in a 350-degree oven for a half hour.
And it makes its own gravy?
Oh, the most delicious gravy imaginable. Mortimer and Louie love it on hot biscuits. Of course, I always make extra biscuits. They have to have some spread with all sweet and jelly on the side.
Well, you can't blame them for that, Mrs. Meek. All sweet margarine is at its most delicious best on hot breads. Say, Mrs. Meek, do you suppose there might be room at your supper table for me tonight?
Well, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. So hang up your coat and hat and make yourself at home.
Oh, gee, thanks. Oh, boy, chicken, biscuits, all sweet.
And, Mother, I was never so humiliated and disgraced publicly in front of Charles and Delbert.
Oh, but Agatha, dear, if you just let me explain.
A fine thing. Going around in a chauffeur's uniform. My brother-in-law. What are my friends going to say about me?
Well, I could think of several things, Louis. Now, it's no shame to be a chauffeur in the first place. And besides,
Please, all of you. I've got to think.
Well, thank you, dear. And think a little for me, too, please.
Well, now, since Mr. Barker insists on you driving him today, Mortimer, even in that outlandish costume, you will have to do it, no matter how unreasonable it may seem. But you did promise to drive Peggy to the party. So you have to do that, too.
But Agatha's book...
I promised Gert you'd drive us to the roller rink. Gert's got free tickets.
Gert and Louie, Peggy and her two boyfriends, Madge and myself, and Mr. Barker. Well, dear, it looks as though you're going to have a busy evening.
Busy? I'd say rushing.
Now, I won't hear another word, Madge. Mortimer and I are going to pick you up as planned. And Madge, don't act surprised when you see Mortimer. He's going to wear a masquerade costume.
Yeah, sure. I got it all fixed, Gert. Get your roller skates all oiled up. Gert, I changed my mind about letting my brother-in-law drive us. Yeah, I hired a limousine and a chauffeur. Sure. After all, the best is none too good for a friend of Louis Leach's.
Oh, no, Charles. I'm all right now. It was just a misunderstanding. Daddy is, he's paying an election debt. That's why he has to wear that chauffeur's uniform.
But, Peggy, the election hasn't been held yet.
I know. Daddy always loses election bets.
So, Mr. Barker, I know you'll be reasonable and let me have a little time off tonight so I can drive my wife and my brother-in-law and my daughter to the various places. If I could just only have an hour.
An hour? Oh, my boy, it takes several hours.
Oh, Mr. Barker, I knew you'd understand. Did you say several hours?
I did, Meek. And on second thought, you're going to take most of the night off.
Most of the night off? Well, good gracious.
Exactly, Meek. I'm a generous and understanding man.
Yes.
You could have as much time to yourself as you like. After midnight.
Well, thank you, Mr. Barker. You grudge me. After midnight? Oh, no.
Meek, I'll be gone in exactly 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. You're at the wheel when I return. Understand? And don't fail me.
Yes, sir, Mr. Barker. 15 minutes. Whew. I hope Agatha's ready.
Goodness, what's gotten into you? Mortimer, please!
Some hack, Louie. And some driver. Why didn't you tell me this guy won the big race at Indianapolis?
All right, Pete. Pull up to the curb. I'll get out here at the club. Drive like an old funny-dummy. And me.
Yes, sir, Mr. Funny.
I'll be back in half an hour. Yeah. You ready?
Golly, Mr. Meek, you drive like a hot rod demon.
Yeah, you sure do. Some fun, huh, Peggy? You're a pop for cars.
Oh, he sure is.
Right. Any guy that'd pay off an election bet before he lost it and drive like this is solid. Hear me, Mr. Meek? I said you were solid.
What is wrong with you? You think I've got all night? Haven't you ever stepped on the gas?
Oh, yes, I have, Mr. Barker. Once or twice. Three times to be exact. That's why I'm driving so carefully now. It's too much for my nervous system.
Well, this horse and buggy pace is too much for my nervous system. Stop the car and give me the wheel.
Oh, you mean, Mr. Barker, that I'm fired as a chauffeur? I can go home?
I mean, I'm going to drive. I'll show you how a man drives. You sit right up here beside me and learn. Now move over and let's get going.
Georgie!
You see, Meek, what real driving is like.
Yeah.
Notice how I take advantage of every break in traffic. Perceive how I maneuver around other cars with skill and dexterity.
Yeah.
Watch how I time the momentum of the car with the change of the stop lights from green to red.
Yeah.
Just beating each light of the turn. Are you hearing all this, Meek?
Yes, yes, Mr. Barker. And Mr. Barker...
Well, what is it now?
I think I hear something else. I think...
Nonsense! Don't think. Just pay attention to what I'm saying.
But, Mr. Barker...
You heard me, Meek.
I know, Mr. Barker, but did you... It's too late.
Pull over to the curb. Well, 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 if it isn't me old friend Barney Oldfield.
Nonsense, my name is Barker, Walter Barker.
And we've broken all the records in the book, haven't we? Ah, Mr. Barker, you're a great driver, a great driver.
Thanks, but I haven't time for compliments.
Ah, what a pity. I was about to pay you some very pretty ones. As is, I'll just write them out. Speeding, reckless driving, endangering life and limb.
Now, just a minute.
Running through light.
Wait a minute, this is not my car.
Driving another person's vehicle.
But you don't understand.
Insulting the uniform of
now,
the police.
Now, don't be a numbskull. I'm not going to stand for this.
And resisting an officer. Well, me buckle, climb out from behind that wheel and we'll be having a nice chat on the way to the station.
But.
And you, laddie.
You mean me, officer?
Yes, you go on about your business. And I my sympathies for having to associate with a maniac like this.
But.
You
but,
turn off your motor and come with me. You're going to ride on the taxpayers free in the paddy wagon.
Well, Mortimer, I'm certainly glad you decided to drive normally again.
Mm.
My gracious, I've never had such a wild ride. Well, why didn't you say something?
Well, I'm thinking, Agatha, dear, about a friend who's gone for a ride, too.
Boy, what a time we had. Agert.
We sure did, Louie. Boy, was you a scream when you tried to skate on your hand.
Yeah.
And didn't. Hey, what makes you the driver? Coming down is like going to a fire. Going home is like to a funeral.
Now, please, Gertrude, don't jest. I'm holding a thought for a friend. A friend who's singing a very sad song. Oh, if I had the wings of an angel.
Gosh, it was sure swell of you to drive down to school to pick us up, Mr. Meek.
Yeah, it sure was, Mr. Meek. I'm sure glad you aren't peculiar like my old man. He says I should get along on Shank's Hank. If he's my old legs, you know.
Daddy?
Yes, dear?
What happened to your election bet?
Election bet?
The chauffeur's uniform.
Oh, that. All bets are off. The man I bet with, he's just being fitted for a uniform itself. Yes, with stripes.
If your house is like our house, when guests are invited for dinner, out comes the family silver, the best china, the prettiest table linen. And, of course, you serve your pet favorites. That super good chicken casserole, that special molded salad, all your best foods. That's why at company dinners, it's all sweet margarine that lends its golden goodness to your fluffy mashed potatoes. It's all sweet, delicate, natural flavor that melts into your special dinner rolls. Yes, once you've tried all sweet, you'll serve it proudly to your fussiest guests. Of course, when you come right down to it, no guest is probably any fussier than your own family. And when Dad says, "Hey, all sweet's wonderful on these pancakes," and when Brother Bill raids the icebox for all sweet and crackers, then you know you've found the perfect table spread. Delicate, delicious, natural-flavored all sweet. And remember, all sweet not only tastes good, it's good for you. In every pound, there's at least 15,000 units of precious protective vitamin A. So, get all sweet. The margarine with the delicate, natural flavor. Meet the Meek, starring Horace Lewis and Burl Vaughn, is written and directed by Les Weinrod. Be sure to join us over these same stations next Saturday when All Sweet, the margarine with the delicate, natural flavor, again invites you to Meet the Meek. This is John Weigel speaking.